Hi, my name is Steve Warren, and I want to welcome you to this podcast. I'm believing today you'll be filled with faith, you'll be energized by hope, and you'll feel loved as this message seeks to transform and empower your life. God bless you as you listen to this.
Een zonde. En de boodschappenserie is best wel intens als je luistert naar de titel. Maar zoals je vorige week al hebt gezien, heeft Pastor Steve een geweldige manier gevonden hoe het eigenlijk uit te pakken. En eigenlijk gewoon vrijheid te creëren in je leven.
And to bring freedom in your life.
En daar gaat deze boodschap vandaag ook over.
And that's what this message is today about.
Tot een bepaald niveau zul je in je leven op punten komen dat je worstelt met schaamte.
There will be moments in your life where you're gonna struggle with shame.
Die schaamte die hoeft niet meer.
That shame, you don't need that anymore.
Jezus heeft voor ons de prijs betaald.
Jesus has paid the price for us.
Pastor Steve heeft een geweldige boodschap voorbereid waarin hij daarop zal ingaan.
Pastor Steve has prepared a message that he will go into this.
En na deze boodschap dan zal hij kort voor jullie bidden over de video.
And after this message he will pray for you briefly.
En ik zal het daarna overnemen.
And I'll take over afterwards.
Omdat ik specifiek voor jou wil bidden als jij worstelt met schaamte.
So I want to pray for you if you're struggling with shame.
Als jij zegt van weet je deze zonde in mijn leven daar schaam ik me voor, ik wil me daarvan bekeren.
These sins I'm shaming from that, I want to turn away from that.
Dan wil ik daar graag in dat moment voor jou voor bidden.
I'd love to pray for you in that moment.
Dat je daarvan wordt vrijgezet.
That you find freedom.
God is gekomen.
Because God has come.
Jezus is gekomen om jou vrij te zetten.
Jesus come to set you free.
En wie Jezus vrijzet is waarlijk vrij, zegt de Bijbel.
And as Jesus setting you free is so important.
Dus ik wil je vragen om je hart voor te bereiden.
So I'd love for you to prepare your heart right now.
Aandachtig te luisteren.
And to listen carefully.
En laat de Heilige Geest in je leven binnenkomen.
Let the Holy Spirit come into your life.
En als er een stemmetje zegt dat zegt jij bent niet goed genoeg.
And there's a voice in you that's saying, oh, you're not good enough.
Dat heb je niet goed gedaan.
You haven't done this well.
Je bent niet goed genoeg voor God.
You're not good enough for God.
Dan wil ik je vragen om het volume van die stem even naar beneden te doen.
I'll ask you to turn that volume of that voice.
Dat is niet de stem van God in jouw leven.
That's not the voice of God in your life.
Dat is de stem van de aanklager.
That's the voice of the devil.
Maar daar heeft Jezus ons van vrijgemaakt.
But Jesus set us free from that.
Dank jullie wel, band.
So thank you, band.
Laten we kijken naar het scherm.
Let's look at the screen.
Hey, well, great to be with you this morning. I am in Almira live, coming to you in city and in Saldos by video. And today I'm believing for an incredible impact coming into your life. But I want to do a big shout out, first of all, for all those in city, wherever you're listening from, everyone in Saldos, why don't you give a great big cheer for everyone in city. Give a great big cheer for Pastor Louie Nintan. Did an incredible job just building a sense of strong community and a spirit of faith for the future, believing for your ongoing discipleship growth and for expansion in the community. And everyone in city, come on, let's give a great big cheer for everyone in Saldos watching in video, on video with you right now. Come on, give them a great big cheer. Big shout out to Pastor Peter and Monique. Again, building incredible location in Saldos. I love the fact we are three locations, but one church, which is why I love to be able to come to you through video and have Sundays like this where we're all getting that one message from the voice of a shepherd into your life on one Sunday. So let's dive straight into this. We're right in the middle of a series called Shame and Guilt. And today we're going to look at the subject of atonement. And what a great subject to be looking at on the build up to Easter. Just 3 weeks away. I want you already to be thinking about who could I bring over the Easter weekend to our Good Friday service or our Easter Sunday services in location? Who could you bring? We're going to be looking at freedom. Who doesn't need to be getting an understanding and a grasp of that subject? So anyway, today, atonement. Last Sunday, we looked at sin and holiness. That's like, you got a sickness. You go to hospital, a surgeon does something to you, and you go away well. That's sin and holiness. I know about sin. I'm a sinner, and God did something, and now I'm holy. That's my new position and my new posture. But what did the surgeon do? What actually happened to create that holiness? And that's what we call atonement. This is so important for us to get our hearts and heads around, because otherwise we're going to be struggling with shame and guilt. We're going to be struggling with condemnation. This has got to be the singularly biggest area I've had to wrestle with throughout my life, is the wrestling of guilt and the overcoming of a spirit of condemnation or a mindset that would self-accuse. And so today I don't want to just bring you theology, although that will be the first part of this message. I want to bring you a sense of ministry into your soul and spirit today. And we're going to spend a little time at the end of this message helping you have guilt, shame, accusation, condemnation lift off your mind, off your soul, and off your heart. So you ready for this? I want you to just nudge your neighbor and go, come on, this is for you. Posture your heart right now with a spirit of expectation and faith as we draw near to an end of this message later, because I know God's going to do something. Romans 8 and verse 1-4, it says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Let's just remember that concept. Jesus became a sin offering. But what he's saying here is really important for us to understand. It's saying you could only go so far to bring a restoration to your life. What had to happen could only happen by God himself. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son. Only God could do what we're talking about today, and that's bring true atonement. And so he condemns sin in the flesh, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In C3 Imagine, we believe that everyone was born a sinner, that sin is a spirit set against God or set against a righteous path and has a self-centeredness to it. But we also believe Jesus is God, came in the likeness of human beings, was a human being, dwelt among us, had flesh and blood like us, tempted in every way like us, but hung on a cross and rose again, took on himself that sin on that cross, died and was buried, and rose again. The power of the Spirit of God came upon him, and he conquered death. He is alive today and seated at the right hand of the Father. And that sacrifice on that cross was a sin offering for you and I that enables us to also experience in that resurrection life. There we go, in a nutshell. Hey, I don't know about you. What is your experience of barbecues? I love barbecues. In fact, one of the greatest things that I've experienced as part of being part of such a multicultural church has been the joy of meeting Brazilians who just simply know how to cook meat. No offense to anybody else out there who believes they're great barbecuers. In fact, you Argentinians, you're also amazing at it. But some of you Brazilians have taught us how to cook well. In fact, I was at a barbecue the other day and ate this incredible tomahawk. In fact, Dion Klinkenberg, there in Salos location, big shout out to you. He's a professional chef, and he really knew how to present this tomahawk. And didn't he, Jonna, who's behind the camera right now? Big shout out to our camera guys who do such a great job at putting these things together, enabling us to put the message out in so many formats. Part of this is going to go out on social media, on our YouTube channel. Just spread the word in every way possible. That's why digital media like this is so powerful for us to achieve so much more and be in so many other places. Jonah was having that tomahawk with me, and it was peppered. Now, here's my view on steak. I will never put a sauce on a steak. I'm not going to go out and spend 25 euros on an incredible steak and then mess it all up with a 50-cent sauce. Why would you do that? That's just insulting to an incredible... That neat normal is what we call that. It's just not right. But anyway, Dion managed to pepper this thing, and it broke my theory. It was amazing. It just really enhanced this meat. I don't know what your experience is of a barbecue. My local butcher does lamb the best, so we often will barbecue lamb because that's his forte. Lamb. Where am I going with this? In the Old Testament, there was a method they used that atoned for sin. And I need to explain this to be able to explain to us what atonement means. And it went like this. Someone who needed to be cleansed of sin would bring an unblemished lamb, a young sheep that had no markings, that just in every way just looked right, wasn't diseased and wasn't crippled. He would bring it to the priest and confess his sin. He would lay his hand upon the lamb, and in doing so, it was a symbol of an impartation of one's sin to that lamb. The lamb would then be sacrificed and treated as a burnt offering to God. And in so doing, that person's sin was atoned for. That was to say, justice was done, and that person could go away cleansed. There is a sacrifice that has to happen. There is a price that has to be paid for freedom. We know this because inbuilt in all of us is a sense of justice. The fact that a price has to be paid isn't to do with punishment, it's to do with justice. And this is where we can get trapped in the feeling of guilt and shame because we feel like we deserve punishment. We feel like we don't deserve love. We don't deserve grace because we've got an action punishment mindset, but it's not got anything to do with punishment. It's got to do with justice. When a wrong has been done, there needs to be justice. And we know that because inside of us, there is an inbuilt sense of justice. For example, we believe that there is a price for freedom. There is bail set on someone who is going to be freed from prison, for example, or they can be released early through good behavior. In a less serious situation, if you're getting out of, if you want to be free from your job, you've got to give notice and work your notice. If you want to be free as a car driver, car owner, you've got to go through the rigor of driving lessons. There's a price for that freedom. On a more serious level, a drunk driver causes an accident. Someone is killed. Even without any sense of need for revenge, we all know something has to happen to put a wrong right. We all know that there needs to be justice. And the best justice is that which comes without anger or revenge, but atones for, puts right a wrong that's been done. You're careless in someone's house, throwing around a ball. You break a pricey vase. It is just part of our nature, knowing that, of course, we're going to buy a new vase for that person. It puts a wrong right. Or if the person says, hey, no, got it covered, it's all right. It is an instinctive reaction for us to go, wow, thank you. It's very generous of you. That act of humility and gratitude is an expression that receives the fact that that person has righted a wrong on our behalf. You said something nasty to a friend. You realize it. You're convicted of it. You humble yourself and you apologize. Humility is the sacrifice paid to put the right wrong. What I'm saying is this. We all know that justice is an important part of society, of human behavior, in order for us to find wholeness, righteousness, and repair. We read here that Christ was a sin offering for you and I. A sacrifice had to be made. It wasn't that Christ had to be punished on our behalf. It was more that justice had to be done, that he did carry the ultimate result of our sin, and that's death. The wages of sin is death. That is to say that for as long as we sin, we will be bringing destruction into our minds, our soul, and our bodies, that there will be a self-destruction going on that eventually leads to death and an eternal death too, a separation from God. And Jesus took that on himself. So the first thing we need to understand about atonement is this. It is a substitution. There we go. I was just looking for that word. It's a substitution. Listen to this. Romans 8:3 says this. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Back to the lamb. The lamb was a substitute on our behalf. It took the sin on our behalf. Sin on the lamb, righteousness received to us. Sin on Christ, righteousness received to us. It is a substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ became sin for us. We receive righteousness, a substitution. Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him our iniquity. Our sin has been laid on Christ, and the consequences of that sin, the ultimate path toward death, has been laid on him, and we have been given in exchange righteousness as a result of that substitution. The first thing we understand about atonement is that it's a substitution. The second thing we understand about atonement is it's a ransom. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A ransom is a payment that has been demanded by someone who is holding somebody in captivity, as captive. Someone has kidnapped someone, and now they're asking for a ransom, a price, a sum to be paid in order for them to be freed. I don't know if you've seen the movie Captain Phillips, actor Tom Hanks playing a real life story scenario where a ship was captured by Somali pilots in 2009, and a ransom of $10 million apparently was placed on the ship owners in order to free the captain. $10 million is what we called the ransom, for him to be set free from being a captive to the pirates. That sum had to be paid. In the same way, Jesus paid a price, paid a ransom to sin, death, and the devil, which meant they had no choice but to give us up and give us over to God. No choice, because the sum that was demanded had been paid for. Our lives set free. Colossians 2:13 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, hostages were released, and those who were holding us captive have now been made the captors, the people who have been now captured themselves. Jesus on the cross nailed every thing that would ever accuse us of our sin, every legal thing that says there needs to be justice, there needs to be justice, there's wrong, that's written in the law of nature, in the law of humankind, there needs to be a justice here to right the wrong. He nailed that voice that would condemn us, that would say, come on, you need to be part of this restoring of wrong. He nailed those false accusations to the cross. He nailed to the cross the legal code that said this person is going to end up in death. No, it nailed it to the cross. He took it on himself. He became a substitution. But he also, in doing that, paid a price and said, you are now free. And in hanging on that cross, but more so by going down to the grave and rising again, he said to those captors, now you are in captive. You will be held captive. Devil, you are bound. Death, you are bound. Sin, you are bound. You are defeated. This person goes free. Not only have you been cleansed, but you've been set free. That's the point of atonement for sin. There's been a substitution and there's been a ransom. Why is this so important? Because it's this that is going to help you deal with that voice that keeps condemning. And that's why in Romans 8, Paul was trying so hard to get through this, to say, there is therefore now no condemnation. But everything in us cries out, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. Put it into a court scenario, because in Colossians we read there a sort of a legal framework, you know, certain codes and legal practices had to be fulfilled for restitution, and Jesus has done away with that and we're free. So there's a criminal in court, and then the judge sits at the bench and declares the sentence, the verdict, after a day of wrestling over the facts and so on. He says, I sentence you, due to your act of fraud, a fine of 150,000 euros. And then the judge reveals himself as being the father of that criminal, who was his son. He takes off his judge clothes, gets down off the bench, looks at his son and says, I'm paying that for you. Everything in the mind and heart of that son says, this is not fair. You can't pay that. I deserve this. And yet the judge, the father, insists. That's exactly what Christ has done for us. He's gone, you've sinned, you've wronged. There needs to be justice. But hey, I am your father, and I'll pay the price for you. I'll take it on myself. And yet everything in us cries out, it's not fair. I deserve to be punished. I deserve to have to pay and atone for my own sin. This doesn't feel right according to my sort of human nature. And so it's so important today. We don't just grasp this concept of substitution and ransom as a mental, theological, academic thing, but we let it settle in our hearts and we go, there is therefore now no condemnation for us today, because Christ has taken it on himself. And so typically, the different reasons why we might carry shame and guilt, and I'm just going to list just three that I can think of, maybe other reasons you can think of, but I'm going to just mention them and then counter them with a biblical concept as we go into a moment of ministry and praying for you, believing that you're going to be set free. If you're regularly feeling condemned or accused, or you can't shake off a sense of guilt or shame or something nagging in the background of your soul that just makes you feel unworthy, today I'm believing with you. That's going to shift. Something's going to happen inside of you. The first thing that holds us back is that feeling I just described. I don't deserve this. This isn't right. This feels not the right course of action. It feels like I should be doing something to atone for my own failure. One of the greatest things we can do to counteract that sense that it's undeserved is to be thankful. I find when I go to Thanksgiving, when I am grateful It's so much easier than to receive that thing I'm grateful for when I begin to go, thank you, Jesus. Oh my gosh, you died for me. You took my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you carried my guilt. I thank you, Jesus, that although I am not deserving of this, I thank you for the way you showed your love to me, the way you accept me. As you begin to express thanksgiving, so you begin to break down all those instincts in you to push away the very goodness and grace of God. That thing in you that says this is not deserved. Sometimes we'd rather stay in a state of guilt because it feels more right, it feels more deserved than we would to receive something that is undeserved. And so begin to thank God. If that's you right now, why don't you in your heart just begin to posture yourself with gratitude and begin to thank him for what he's done. The other thing that stops us from, stops us getting free from guilt and shame, or causes us to linger in guilt and shame, is this climate of doubt in our thinking. And so we have a mind that keeps wavering. Yeah, I know that Christ has freed me. I know he's forgiving, but this. And so in our minds are in a sense, too soft and too vulnerable to the climate of darkness, to the lies of the enemy, or to the patterns of our own thinking. The only way I found to counter this is with a spirit of faith. The Bible tells us that we're to change and renew the spirit of our thinking. That is to say, there's an attitude in our minds, there's a climate control system in our minds, and it takes us walking a path of transforming our minds and dwelling on Scripture and absorbing a sense of confidence from Scripture that our minds could have to change the pathway of direction of our thinking and to have a faith-filled mindset. That is to learn to overcome the weakness of our thinking that sets us under our sense of guilt, and rather take on a faith-bold mind that says that Jesus has taken this. So one of the ways I do that is I make declarations and confessions, and I sow them into my thinking that therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. My guilt has been nailed to the cross. I am an overcomer because of what Christ has done for me. Today, I am a disciplined person because Christ lives in me. I begin to fuel my thinking with faith that gives me a confident mindset, a decisive mindset, a clear view of my life and my future according to the eyes of the Father. The other thing that tends to shake us when it comes to trying to get set free is this, it feels so familiar. Some of us are carried around condemnation or guilt or shame for so long, it just feels so familiar. It's the world we know. It's the only pattern we have. It's so familiar. Today, I want to encourage you to do something really bold. I want you to go counterintuitive. I want you to go against everything your emotions are screaming out against you. I remember a season in my life where I had to do this. Everything in me went the same. Keep condemning you, Steve. It's familiar. You at least know you're going to get through it that way. Keep feeling guilty, Steve. You deserve it. It's the only thing I knew that was familiar at this pattern. And I knew if I just rode with it, I'd get through it somehow after a few days. In the end, I realized this was just not me managing my emotional world. And I had to start to tell my emotions how to feel. It was hard work. I took a hold of Scripture and went, I'm going to believe this and keep pushing through, even though everything in my emotions says, do this, feel this, go down this path. And the emotions would be screaming at me, you're guilty, you're wrong, you're bad, this isn't the better way. You need to try harder, you need to be better. And I just set my face and I would keep on walking. I want to encourage you today, whatever emotional state you walk out of this place in, keep on walking. I want us to stand to our feet, wherever we are right now, in city, in Southeast, stand to our feet. I want to pray for you. Something's going to lift off you right now. Something's going to be broken right now as I pray. Just let the presence of God touch you, fall on you. Let him have his way in you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. come. The presence of God full. In Jesus' name. Let your mind be still. Let your heart rest. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. The price has been paid. And whilst we don't deserve it, Jesus smiles on you and he has sacrificed himself willingly. He wants you right now to receive freedom. He wants it for you. He doesn't want you to punish yourself. He says, be free in Jesus' name. And so I lift off you. I ask the Holy Spirit would lift off you guilt and shame, condemnation in Jesus' name. And I declare you are free. I break any spirit of accusation that would tell you this is not true. I bind it in Jesus' name. And today, I declare to you, you are cleansed and you are free. There is a substitution and there is a ransom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just let's continue in this place right now as someone just leads you into a place of refreshing and prayer, and as we go back into worship, let's not leave this zone. Just let the Lord minister to you. It's been so good being with you today. God bless you, church. Well, thank you for listening today. I want to take a few more moments of your time, because it may be today you realize that you need to get your relationship right with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never asked him into your life before. Or maybe for some reason you've been moving away from him. And today I want to invite you to come back to him. Or it may be that you're just not sure you're going to heaven. And so I want to lead you in a prayer right now. And I would really love for you to say this prayer with me. And then, straight after this prayer, I would love you to do something for me. But hey, let's pray right now. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me. I ask that you would forgive me. I turn away from my past, and I give you my life. Come and live in me. I thank you that today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, today the Holy Spirit has done something in your life. And so I want you to tell us about it. I want you to email info@c3amsterdam.nl and let us know you've made this decision, and let us have your address, because I'd love to send you a book that will help you make this decision really strong and become a follower of Jesus. And we'll also be able to help you get planted in a church near you. God bless you.